on, everyone. We welcome
Blog
you to
Talk Radio.
Welcome, good afternoon, good evening, glory unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to welcome you to Design Connection under Sincere Women on the Move for Christ, the evening service, and we pray that you have had a marvelous and wonderful weekend. Every day that the Lord has made, we are going to position and put ourselves in that mindset that we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. There may be different tests and turmoil and grief and sorrow and many things that may happen in the valley and on the mountaintop, but still God is still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So we just going to have to keep our eyes on the prize, keep standing on His word, being in a place that we can be like that tree planted by the rivers of water that we shall not be moved. Praise God. At this time, we're going to ask that Pastor Dorsey will play a selection for us, and then we're going to go right into the word. Amen. Bless God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Pastor Hubb, and I turn it back over to you.
Praise the Lord. We thank you, Pastor Dorsey. At this time, praise the Lord, I'm going to do a reading, and then from that point, then we will read the scripture out of Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. That'll just be a portion of the message today, but we were going to tie a couple of them together, and prayerfully the Lord will give me the wisdom how to do that. Amen. But I wanted to read this briefly. It says instinct, and it's coming from Psalms 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. It says flying into a storm is a dangerous experience. The temptation is to fly by your instincts, or as an aviator says, by the seat of your pants. But as any pilot will tell you, that's a prescription for disaster. If you rely on your feelings and instincts, you become disoriented, thinking the plane is going up when it's actually going down. Thankfully, the instrument panel is set to magnetic north and can be trusted every time. Letting your instruments guide you, even when it feels like they're wrong, helps ensure safety in the storm. We all face storms that threaten to confuse and disorient us. It may be a call from the doctor's office, a friend who has betrayed you, or a shattered dream. Those are the times to be especially careful. When you are blinded by life's disappointments, don't trust your instincts. Flying by the seat of your pants in the storms of life can lead you to despair, confusion, and vengeful responses that make matters worse. God wants to guide you, and his word is packed with wisdom and insights for living. His word is a lamp unto our feet, my feet, and a light to my path. Psalms 119:105. Where he leads is always right. Go to your Bible and trust God to guide you. He promises, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. Psalms 32:8. The God who governs galaxies and makes the thunder roar gently guides my little craft with the safety to the shore. Burge. The closer we walk with God, the closer we see his guidance. And we know there is a way that seems right unto man, but that way leadeth to destruction. We want to have the mind of Christ so we can, for the desire, fulfill his will, but that our will become his will. We must desire to have the mind of Christ. Then we will be led by the Spirit of God and not grieve the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's the way he can measure the love that we have for him, as it, what we confess. If we be obedient to the Spirit of the Lord, he is being able to see our true love for him because we are obeying his command. That is whatever he commands us to do, not just the Ten Commandments. And he said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger he will not follow. Don't let it ever be said that you did run well, and who did hinder you, or what did hinder you. Don't be a people that praise God with their lips, and the heart is far from him. Praise God. God's word is the spiritual nourishment you and I must have to fulfill his will and the purpose he had for our lives. Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Job even said in the 23rd chapter in the 12th verse, I have treasured the words of God in my mouth more than my daily bread. And he already told us that's the only word we can, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We're going to believe the Lord all of this is going to tie in soon. Praise the Lord. Amen. As I was saying, we're going to read Romans, the 12th chapter, starting at the first and second verse. I had it, of course, you touched these screens, and all of a sudden it'll disappear on you. Praise the Lord. I want to read it from the Amplified. Even though I may know it by heart, I want to read it from this. Amen. Wow. Touched the wrong one. Praise the Lord. And also want to put a notice in there. I know that it's supposed to be storming part of the East Coast and some on the Central and on the West Coast. So if it gets to a point tonight that we have to close down the broadcast, that will be the only way if it gets unbearable. It has been thundering somewhat, but the rain has not come down. But I know in some places it is flooding and it's storming. So bear with us and forgive us if things happen beyond our control. Praise the Lord. You know this is a trick of the enemy. I touch that screen one more time. If not, I'm going to read it out of, this is the last time I'm going to, okay, we're going to try this one more time. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive, dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a holy, as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, and consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service, rational, intelligent service, and spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to the world, this age, fashioned after and adapt to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God, even the things which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. Praise the Lord. In Jeremiah 29:11, we know that he says that he has a plan for us, and glory God, that plan is good, it is not for evil, to give us that expected end and to bless us and to prosper us. But in order for us to be the covenant keepers and not the covenant breakers, we're going to have to know his word and trust his word, obey his word, and not be a part-time lover of his word, to take on a portion of it, and then what is not pleasing to us, then we disregard. We have to be able to, like he had told one of his servants, praise God, his prophets, in time of old, that we are not to eat the whole world roll, and maybe I think it's Ezekiel. But in the meanwhile, we have to be in a place and so forth that we take on God's word and we believe it and we operate according to what his word is saying concerning our lives. There are going to be some hardships, some hard times, and there may be some challenges in life, but he's covered everything in his word to let us know and so forth like this. And he's already gone through all that anyone could ever imagine in 10,000 or more lifetimes all at once in a few days, all the suffering and everything that he did, and also going to the tree, glory on Calvary, and stop dying because he loved the world so that he even stopped dying to save that one, praise God, even at that hour. And so when he closed his eyes, before he closed his eyes, he said, it is finished. So it's up to us to choose this day who we're going to serve. And they're going to be challenging, like, because we have an adversary to contend with. John 10:10 says, the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came to give life and life more abundantly. So there are going to be all kinds of challenges and hardships and various things the enemy is going to try to do to try to keep us off course or try to take us off course or try to cause us to doubt what the word of God says or try to keep us from fulfilling our mission or whatever goals or whatever God has assigned to our life, to try to make whatever God says a lie so that way we will operate in the flesh. The flesh has to die. It has to be mortified. He says he don't get no pleasure in our flesh and no flesh gonna glory in his sight. And it definitely can't make it into the kingdom. We have to be at a place that it has to be mortified daily. So we will have to deny this flesh. And challenge is gonna come and it's gonna build character. So some things that are happening, everything that goes on in our life is not always the devil. It's some things God's trying to work out in our lives. And so that's why we have to have such a relationship and a love for him so that way we can be able to know what is going on even at that hour. We may not know the fullness of it, but we know whether we are walking in alignment with God's word, because some of the challenges, some of the things that we're suffering in life are not because sin was there. It's sometimes just for God to get some glory or for him to get some praise. Even with that servant and so forth, that man when they asked, when he was healed, when he was crippled or whatever was going on in his body, they wanted to know whether it was sin by the parents or sin by the man. Come to find it, it was nothing. It was just for God to get some glory. So everything that often happens is not always, but sometimes it is sin because of disobedience and rebellion. So God, we want you to revive us. We want you to restore us. We want you to awaken us. We want you to help us to be able to walk in your word and truth. So open the eyes of our heart so we may see you. And we want to be able to see in your word what your plan is for our lives so we can walk accordingly. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to put these scriptures here in your hearing. And then we're going to talk a little bit concerning a couple of servants, and preferably the rest of this will tie in. Bless the Lord. Isaiah 61:3 says, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. Psalms 30:5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Don't necessarily be in the next morning like today is Sunday and tomorrow is Monday. Everything is going to be hunky-dory or all is going to be just sunshine and glorious day. That morning of the Lord. So some things, you know, have to go through a process, and sometimes and so forth, warfare is going on even while we believe in God, standing with everything in faith that we know and not even walking in sin. But even when it came to Daniel, and he is praying, his prayer wasn't manifested for him knowing that it was answered until 21 days. But God said it was answered the first day. But the prince of Persia, the enemy was, glory to God, fighting against what God had sent out, and so he had to send out Michael, praise God, and so he had to do warfare. But we have to have the faith to know, no matter what's going on, keep the faith, stand on the word, because God's word is not going to go out void. It's going to accomplish everything that he set it out to do, but we have to have the patience. Patience and faith operate together. Fear and faith do not operate together. One going to cancel out the other, and so we have to check ourselves. And remember, the word says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers out of them all. It may not be the moment and the hour that you think, but it can be past midnight, and God can change some things around. People and so forth have been pronounced dead, clinically and literally dead. And God has raised them up because he has the last say-so. So we just have to trust God through this trying time, but it's going to take pressing and pursuing after him on a daily basis in his word and continue to not be in a place of regurgitating, but take in his word and stand on it and keep repeating it and glory to God, meditating and keep declaring and decreeing what his word says in spite of what your situation is saying, because the enemy has a way to try to manipulate us with circumstances and situations, allowing them to dictate to us. Then the twins of pain and panic come on the scene. Next thing you know, we may end up being a POW, prisoner of war, MIA, missing in action, or KIA, killed in action. So we got to be in a place and so forth like that. If those things occur, then it's going to be for the glory of God, not because the fact that it was flesh on parade, in the name of Jesus. Okay, and then also it says, sing to the Lord, you saints, and his praise in his holy name. And a lot of times and so forth like this, we allow the enemy to get us so caught up, we lose our joy, and we don't praise and magnify the name. We're, oh, woe is this, and we're complaining and murmuring. And it does not mean just because we're babes, because sometimes we can be out here and been on the field out here for 20, 30, 40 years. There's some things that the enemy will come, depress, oppress, suppress us. Too many things come in, some doors been opened, and some things beyond our control, and a combination of all of that, and it'll get to that point we'll lose that joy. But he wants that because he knows the joy of the Lord is our strength, and we lose our joy, we lose our peace, and he's a stealer. Then he can just bam that head and bang that head and knock us down and stump us and whatever. You think about a fighter in the ring, his arms, his hands is up, and he's boxing, he's doing whatever. But once you start hitting in that sensitive area and keep working that area, that's what the enemy will try to do with us. Whether they come through in our homes and marriages or children or a ministry or whatever, a mission or building or of business or whatever it is, he will find a way to try to break us down. But we also have to know that regardless of what goes on, even when we lose, then God know how to restore. He know how to raise us back up. So we have to keep pressing and fighting, and also knowing that we first of all got to have that relationship where we talk to him first. He'll lead us, who else, to talk and pray and touch and agree. But that's why the Bible tells us to pray one for another. Strong bear the infirmities of the weak. And glory to God, and pray without ceasing. But there are times and so forth like it seems like we're overwhelmed and where are you and whatever, but God has a way of coming in and moving and doing marvelous and great and mighty things. Amen. So God, continue to bless us and keep our eyes open and keep us to a place that that word will keep renewing our faith and our and renewing our minds and so forth in your word. Praise God. For anger lasts for a moment, but in his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may endure, remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. It may not be always literally the morning, but this too shall pass. Jeremiah 31 and 13, for I will turn their mourning into joy and will comfort them, make them rejoice from their sorrow. John 14, 1 through 3, let not your heart be troubled. When you receive troubling news, trust the antidote for the trouble, the heartache of Jesus Christ. Is the antidote. 14:15, if you love me, you will obey my commands. I will ask the Father to give you a comforter, which is the counselor, the Holy Spirit. Now, there will be challenges in life, in the life of the righteous. When you really love someone, giving up is so hard to do, or taking revenge. Love covers a multitude of faults. David refused to terminate Saul's life, even though Saul was pursuing after him with a death threat and that was determined to kill David. David said he would not touch God's anointed, even though the Lord had opportunity present himself to do so. And that's in 1 Samuel 24 through 7. We'll share a little bit concerning David, and then we're going to go on and share a little bit concerning Joseph and just maybe touch a little bit on Stephen. But there's just some things just to tie in the type of mindset and then the relationship that you have with the Lord. And then in all of this, the plan that God has, we may not understand all that transpire, but keeping our minds and hearts in a place and so forth like that God can use and he can prove himself in the midst of it all. 1 Samuel 24:3, starting there, Saul went into to relieve himself, and David with his men were far back in the cave. And the fourth verse said, the men said, this is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, I will give your enemies into your hands for you to deal with as you wish. Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Afterwards, David was conscience-stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. He was just convicted of, this is somebody that he loved, this man, supposed to have loved him and took him in as a son. And then here it is, now he's after him because of jealousy. We're not going all the way back from the history of that. But the point of it is, even with all this, this man pursuing him, and he was even convicted because this is the place that he has with the Lord and the respect that he has for even that God had anointed Saul, and just for him coming and even having an opportunity to kill him, that was because it turned to become his enemy and so forth. And he said that he was convicted by that. And we will have an opportunity and so forth like this, and, oh, God didn't present this right. This is an opportunity for me to get revenge. But James said, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. But as concerning this relationship, he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord, anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord. David rebuked his men and would not allow them to attack Saul. David refused to terminate Saul's life, even though Saul was pursuing after him with a death threat and was determined to kill him. Now, when we think and so forth like this of situations and circumstances that take place like this, we often think and so forth that this is an opportunity for me to take revenge, but God had a better plan. And so no matter what had transpired at that time and what David had to go through, he was already anointed king by the Lord. But Saul was king on the throne, but he had been already, the Lord had already pulled him down off the throne for actually being his anointed on the throne because of his disobedience. So it was terminated by him because of his disobedience. But in the meantime, David was anointed king, but he had to wait till his time that God had appointed him to be able to actually sit on the throne. But through the process of a different various events and challenges and trials that we go through, God can speak a thing in our lives, but that does not mean that it's immediately going to take place. But in through all the different things that David went through, at the very end, he still didn't have to lay a hand on Saul. It was his enemy was taken care of by someone else. But nevertheless, when that appointed time came, he was able to rest on the throne that God had appointed. So in the midst of all the challenges that we go through in life, we have to wait on the Lord and be of good courage. It can be a little bit disappointing. Sometimes it can be a lot disappointing. But the plan that God has, we have to keep faith and keep the trust that he's going to take care of whatever he says. Now, there was Joseph had an opportunity to become bitter instead of better after his brothers had carried out a plot to sell him into slavery because of jealousy. And jealousy is as cruel as the grave. Joseph's brothers did not know and realize, Joe or his brothers did not know that God had a plan for the future. Joe was sent ahead to suffer many things for a season in preparations for being a mediator between life and death for the nation, for his family, and so forth. He started out as a dreamer, and then there was jealousy with that. His brothers was jealous. They threw him in the pit, and he went from the pit to the prison, and from the prison to the palace, and then from the palace back down in prison, then back he as the second command to Pharaoh after revealing that dream. But in the midst of all of this, I want to share a little bit that was transpiring with Joseph. It says in Joseph in Genesis 42, the dreamer Joe had many years ago manifested a dream before. Many years ago, before the manifestation of the dream, the sons of Jacob bowed down before Joseph. They came to Egypt to buy grain, for there was a famine in the land of Canaan. Now Joseph was governor over the land, second in command to Pharaoh. When Joseph's brothers plotted to murder him and sold him into slavery, they did it with the intentions to defeat the dream, Genesis 37, 19 through 20. Instead, by sending Joe to Egypt, they provided a way for the dream that would be fulfilled. And God had a plan. He knew all these things. He's omnipotent, omnipresent. He knows all things. But in the midst of it all, this right here was working out for things to be worked out in him to get into a place and a position to be able, glory to God, to be a blessing in the future. And sometimes the things that we go through, we don't understand it as we go along, but we hear that as old saying that we'll understand it by and by. And sometimes some people can't wait on God long enough for it to be manifested. Sometimes they deviate off the path and deviate off the course that God has for us. And sometimes because of the pain, the pressure, the grief, the sorrow, the death, so many things can transpire that the enemy will blow it up, and to a point that we can't even hear the voice of God or the Holy Spirit in the midst of this. And sometimes we, as believers, are not in position and in place like we're supposed to be, praying one for another, standing in the gap, and going to the aid of one another when we ought to. And some of these things can be prevented, but we all have to have a place that we have a relationship in the Lord that he says everyone has to work out their salvation with fear and trembling unto the Lord, but we are accountable to one another as well. But anyway, in the midst of this plan, he says, God has a plan. Okay, let me find my – God has a plan. The great and glorious truth of God's providence is he can and does use the evil actions of man toward us to further his good plan. He knows all and sees all. He knows everything before it happens. This never excuses man's evil, but it means God's wisdom and goodness are greater than man's evil. Joseph wasn't revengeful like some of us would be with the power and authority to destroy them, but he has the heart of God and recognized what man meant for evil. God had a divine plan all the time. God's grace, Joseph, the power to do what was right, not what was natural, of what the flesh, the human flesh, would respond. Titus 2:11-12. By God's grace, Joseph realized that God had a purpose for placing him in this position and of power, and this purpose was to save his family. He had great power, but he would not use this power to get revenge. God commanded us to love others as ourselves. If the enemy is hungry, give him food. What? What? We don't, some of us won't even give each other food, and we have such an attitude, and because they're angry or frustrated or you betrayed me or this or that or whatever, we have such a bad attitude and devouring and sowing discord and busybody. We wonder, how can the world be able to see a light of Jesus Christ? And for some of us, that light be up under a bushel, be up under a lampshade. Some have flashlights. Some of them got the light that's just so dim, or either got a breakage in it or circuit. Like sometimes you have your light switch and it's not getting the proper surge that it's supposed to, and it just breaks and flickers and whatever, flickering lights. And other ones have something like that lightning bulb you see. You see it for one moment, then the next thing you know, it's across the room or across the way. Oh, that's a sad thing, but that's how some of us operate because of that relationship that we don't have, that should have, or part-time basis or whatever. In the meantime, back to if your enemy hunger, give him food. If he thirst, give him water to drink. God's word says, vengeance is mine, as it says in James, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. God loves covers a multitude of faults. And that doesn't mean and so forth like this. We condone sin or condone whatever, but we ought to have mercy and we ought to have compassion. We ought to have love. We ought to be there, not to be somebody that's vindictive and giving the enemy room through our tongue to set a fire or cause discord or cause confusion or whatever. We ought to be a wounded healer. And some of the things that some people are doing or coming against us, some of those same things, spirits was operating in some of us, and we don't have the love and compassion. Some of the things that were being done now, and God been blessed and got a few years under your belt, been saved, and the Lord blessed and cleaned your life up, and now you're walking in the light of as much as possible in truth. And then the compassion when somebody else have the same kind of situations that you've been through, what happens to the love and the compassion and so forth then? And we're supposed to have that agape love, and we're learning to walk in that and in holiness and righteousness through God's word as this flesh being transformed. I mean, it's being denied and modified and whatever, and then we're being transformed by our minds through the word of God. Some things people are not allowing God to come in and transform them because it's like, I got this, JC. We are denying, justify why we did this or why is that, and if I hadn't, if they hadn't did this and that. He said, even when your enemies, glory to God, even when your enemies, when they persecute you and say all manner of things, how we are supposed to pray, he gives us instructions how we are supposed to react, not retaliate, react to according to his word, not retaliate. We have to come to a place that we conform to the will of the Lord. But long as that flesh is alive, and so many times we can be delivered over here and then delivered over that, overcomers here, triumphant there, more than a conqueror there, but he got this other thing that comes through, that if we don't get rid of it, it'll knock everything else down like the bowling pins, because the fact of it is we won't let God deliver us in this area here, whether it's been some things happen in our past through some hurt, some disappointments, some betrayals, or some things flow to God that we thought we would pay, somebody stole, or this, that, and the other. Whatever the excuses that the enemy caused us to think that we have the right to hold on to that thing that caused us to not be triumphant the way God wants us, and have the mind God wants us to have, and be to a place that our eyes come open. And sometimes the eyes is open to the truth. But hearing the word and obeying the word is two different things. I know, but, that's Billy Goat Syndrome. We got to get away from the Billy Goat. We're supposed to be sheep. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger will not follow. Well, we start following strange voices, our own voice, and whatever else the feelings of the emotions come. Romans 8:28 says, all things will work together for good for those that love the Lord and call in according to his purpose. And in the midst of all that, through all the trials these young men had to go through, no matter what, it still worked out for the good. not saying they're not going to go through some trials and situations. Paul and Silas were on the road, here this soothsayer and whatever like this, and here the ones and so forth like this, and saying this is our livelihood. It's been canceled now because Paul rebuked the spirit of divination out of this woman, and so they were beaten, put in jail, and what? They went to jail fussing and cussing, did they? No. They went there praying and praising the Lord. Now, listen, some of us can't stand somebody talking about us or looking cross-eyed at us, or I heard you say it, and what, acting just like the world, not being conformed. But their attitude was regardless. One didn't tell the other one, Paul, if you had not cast that spirit out of there, now we could have waited until we got out of town or out of the city or whatever like this right here, or Silas, if you hadn't did such and such and whatever like this, and now look, we are in this state and this situation. No, they are collectively on one accord went into the prison praying and praising God. Can you imagine that? And then there was such a revival up in there among themselves that the power of the anointing through just radiating through the building was a jailhouse rock. The jail cells came open. Those people could have ran out of there like roaches running across the floor, but not a one. And the jailer was getting ready to kill himself because he had probably already know what his master was going to do to him and how he was going to suffer or what it was going to take and him going to die. So I might as well do it myself. But nevertheless, he said, Paul said, we all are here, not one is left. Whatever it was that God allowed to be so, and still yet nobody left the prison, that's just a miracle in itself. But through it all, the jailer and his household got saved. We never know the situations and the crisis circumstances we might have to be in order for God to get some glory. But willing to know and so forth like this, when you know you haven't done anything but served the Lord and did what was right and keep a repentant heart, staying humble and obedient and submitted into the cause of Christ. And then those things that come upon us unaware come upon us and we done searched ourselves. It's not God. To God be the glory. Give me the strength to overcome, to go through it. And there's times no matter how strong we are, can be saved 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, don't mean that you're not going to be challenged with something. Eventually, after you mature and grow, here's something else. After you mature and grow, there's something else. Mature and grow, there's somewhere the enemy is going to come in. But that same God yesterday, today, and forevermore never changes. And we have to draw from him, run to the rock that's higher than us. Then sometimes in the midst of running to him, then he'll give us that corporate prayer or that touching degree in power, the chasing and put the enemy to flight. But nevertheless, always go to him first. But in the midst of it all, we got to trust that you're going to bring us through and bring us out. And sometimes it seems longer, like the winter time seems a little longer in some of our lives than it is for others. And then other times it seems like the seasons just turn over just as they should in others' lives. But nevertheless, God, much is given, much is required. There's so many times that God has such a plan, he has to know through that endurance power that you're going to be able to stand and be able to carry out whatever he has assigned to your life, the same as the trials that Job went through. Sometimes we can have that Job experience. It may not be in the same manner, as on the same level as his, but some things are pretty close in some areas in some people's lives. But God have a purpose, and they come out stronger than ever before. Sometimes we make mistakes like Peter did and you know, denied Christ and stuff like that. But nevertheless, God had a plan for him. He was forgiven, and then this man worked, glory to God, and even to the point of the anointing in his life that even from his shadow, people were being healed. Ebo, shout out on the both sides. Glory to God. We never know what may transpire in our lives to get us to that destined place. He told Abraham all about his future, everything that was going to take place and so forth like this, about him having being the father of many nations and how so many sons is the sands of the sea and so forth and so on and the stars. But nevertheless, he didn't tell him what he had to endure and what had to transpire to get him to the destined place, to destiny. Even when he told him about that miracle child that was supposed to come forth out of the womb of him and Sarah, and years passing by, holding on to the promise, got to a point there's so much time. God deals with eternal. We deal with time. He gave that to us. But nevertheless, if he gave us a promise, we have to hold fast to what the promise said, not about what time it is. So, this is May the 20th. Oh, you told me about 5, 10, 20 years ago that we were going to have this, and this was going to take place, and that was going to take place, and now we still at this place. That's what the enemy want to work on. He want to work on all the trials and all the things that blow up and all the things that transpire, all the things he can cause us to lose, for all the turbulence and all the disappointments, all the hurts, and how long it took for us to give up on the blessing. But nevertheless, that blessed child, even though they try to create a miracle, God had the blessed child to come to forth, no matter how many years it had been, old as they were, and her womb and so forth like this on the natural would have been not an operation for her to produce a seed to come forth and his seed and so forth, or even whether they could do the mechanics or whatever, able to, however the situation is. When God say a thing, he has a way. I don't care how we laugh at it, how we think it's bizarre, it's like far-fetched or whatever. If he said it, we got to get to a place that we believe it. And the thing about it, it's already so, regardless of whether we believe it or not, but we have to get to that place. He said it, I believe it. No, he said it, it's already so, and then we believe it. So, God, I just bless him for what he's saying concerning the word and how he's trying to get us to open our eyes to be in a place that we allow the word of God to have freeness and have, glory to God, free reign in our lives, and not allow what we go through to dictate to us how the outcome is going to be because of what Satan says. He gave us the armor, told us we have the whole armor of God. Sometimes we got to check when we go through these trials. Is your helmet still on? It might be hanging off the side. You know, when soldiers go through battle and whatever like this, could be hanging to the side, the strap could be loose. Your breastplate, your shield of faith, is it hanging down halfway? Some things are coming in now because and so forth. It's not on because you've been in battle. Is your loins going about with the truth? Is your belt open? Are you tripping over your shoestrings or whatever? Are you looking back? He said, the Lord God is our rear guard. Our helmet of salvation need to be on. We need to keep that sword. We need to keep it sharpened, the word of God, and that two-edged sword. And sometimes he's want to cut out some things in us, you know, and whatever like this, and still cut the devil asunder of some of the things he's doing in his words and whatever like this, and standing on the truth and whatever. But we have to be in a place that we keep it sharper. So whatever's in me, according to 1 Corinthians, examine myself daily to make sure that I'm walking in the faith and walking in truth. Praise the Lord. Amen. And even Stephen and so forth, like while he was being stoned to death and he was in the process of dying, he still said, forgive them. You know that's got to be some kind of serious relationship with the Lord and trust and love and so forth, and saying that, just like what Jesus said, even to my Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. All the things that transpired even in the life of Jesus Christ, he was sent here for a purpose, to restore us, to redeem us. He loved us so that the Father loved us so he sent his only Son. His Son loved us so he gave up his life and so forth, and suffered all those many things and so forth, so that where we can be in a place. All the things that transpired could have been easily called thousands of angels, legions of angels, and so forth like that, to come when he was hurting and going through and whatever like this, and ask the Father to take me back or whatever like this right here. I don't want to go through this. Even in the garden, while he was suffering, going through it, and had his sweat was like tears of blood, drops of blood. And through all of that agony, still yet, nevertheless, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done, Father. Even through all of that was before him, because of all the things we done and all that, the Father was going to forsake him just for those few minutes because of all that sin that was on him and on the cross on our behalf, because he loved us. And then sent back a comforter that can comfort us. And sometimes we won't even let the Holy Spirit comfort us. Sometimes we want to act like we got it, Lord, and then other times we grieving and overriding the Holy Spirit. And he says, my commandments are not grievous. Only those, glory to God, things are grievous when we're in disobedience and rebellious. It may seem a little difficult because the fact that flesh got to die more so we can get into a place and so forth. And as we done grew and mature in the Lord, we can see as how it was from being in the baby stage and into them going into those stages of maturity, that some of the things that were so difficult for us to do and handle and to receive and to humble ourselves in, now we don't even flinch. But there are some things in trials still yet. Is he still working on some things in this flesh, that in these vessels, that the flesh has to die? And even sometimes when trials come up, sometimes the enemy will try to cause us to result back to the past and go back over into the graveyard, putting on those graveyard clothes and so forth like that. And it's not to be. We are to be in a place and so forth like this, God. I'm going to let the manifold wisdom of God be exercised through my life. I'm going to allow you to have preeminence. I'm going to allow you to manifest yourself in my life. I'm going to allow you, glory to God, to be my lead, my guide. I'm going to let you be my Lord. I'm not going to try to fight this battle on my own. You said the battle is not mine, but it's yours. I have to be able to trust you to handle these battles in my marriage, in my home, with my children, in this ministry, in the place and so forth, in my business, and when I'm in the marketplace, when I have an enemy that's next door and so forth, is always provoking and agitating me. When it's somebody and stuff on my job that caused me to appear to have two personalities, when I'm on the job, I'm so frustrated and agitated and aggravated that I result back to pulling some of the things out of my personality from my flesh out of the graveyard. And then when I'm at churches, whatever, and then after we do it so much to lose the conviction of the Holy Spirit, we cannot allow the enemy to win that way, because Jesus didn't have no three personalities. We have to be into a place and so forth. We don't have one face in the marketplace, another one on the job, another one in our home, another one and so forth like this when we're at church. We got to come to grips and so forth like this. We have to walk this life according to what Jesus has assigned and allow him to have free reign. And then when we're in error, when we make mistakes, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's such a good God. He gave us so many gifts and talents was supposed to be used for his glory and for his honor. He wants us to be able to get in a place and so forth like this. We'll allow him to have free reign. If we need revival, we need to let him do that. We need to let him rekindle the flame in us. We need to have that awakening and need to be stimulated and revived. We need to stir up the gifts on the inside of it, let him rejuvenate us. We need to get to that place and so forth like this that we're honest and glory, straightforward about it's me, oh Lord. I'm not going to deny my flesh. I'm not going to deny that I'm hurting. This is our Father. We ought to be able to lay our head on his chest. And this right here, yes, I was provoked. I was agitated. I really wanted to slap him. I want to slap her. But God, in the midst of it all, oh, I just feel this place of revenge because I am so tired. Cast all those cares upon him because he careful. Let us be able to release those things. So in the meantime, when the enemy thinks he's going to oppress, depress, and have us in a place where he's going to provoke us to do something that's contrary to the will of the Lord, as we cast these cares and keep releasing, keep praying, even if we have to have somebody to touch and agree and glory to God, let God come in and do what he needs to do, because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we can be in a place, in a position, when we have that mindset to let the God's will be done and help us even in our discouragement and in the place, glory to God, where we feel in a little hopeless in this particular situation as we keep casting and keep trusting, keep speaking your word and staying in the fire and staying around people that have the fire, the anointing, and have our best interests at heart, and we can touch and agree with the truth, then we're going to be able to see victory and we're going to see change. We won't be to that place and so forth that the enemy will come in and cause us to get caught up in things saying and doing that we shouldn't be. Because it's sad when we can see believers, especially leaders too as well, they're cussing, they're fussing, they're sowing discord. And well, that's so sad. What is going on in the body of Christ that caused so much prestige, power struggle, all kinds of things being said and done, and like we're building up this kingdom down here, and this is not our home. We're passing through. The Lord said in his word, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, everything else will be added. It's not that he don't want us to have the best. It's not that he don't want us to have fine cars and fine houses and blessed ministries and for it to expand and so forth and for us to, glory to God, to be blessed and prosperous. But put him first. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. These other things will be added, the husband, the wife, the children, the things that we desire. Just, you know, everybody don't want the same thing, but some things and desires that we have in life, sometimes we put those things before the Lord, and then we'll say, God will give me the desires of my heart. The Bible says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, then he'll give us the desires of our heart. So our desire and our heart should be after the Lord. Where your treasure is, where your heart is. If it's about the mammon, the money, the sex, the Alexis, or whatever, then that's where, and so forth like this, going to be manifesting in life. But if we store up our treasures in heaven, seeking first the kingdom of God, the blessings plan that he had for us down there, we're going to enjoy even some of that, but our heart will be after God, and it won't be so easy for the enemy to manipulate us and cause us to come over into that realm of being rebellious and stubborn and disobedient and rebellious to the things that God has said to do, and what we won't get in that place of jealousy and the place, glory to God, that will cause the house to be divided. We will be in a place when we come on one accord, we are forced to be reckoned with. So we're praying for the body of Christ, praying for unity, praying that we'll utilize these gifts and let God give us wisdom, how to be skillful in the knowledge that he's given us to win souls, to be able to encourage people, to for people to get healed and for deliverance to take place and for people to take courage, have courage for people, glory to God, that are having trouble in their marriages and their home, for the power of prayer and for the word of God and courage, for people that have children that are out there, that some that run away, some been taken from them, certain things that have gone, even for the people that have been grieved and sorrow through hideous crimes and other things, that God can bless for us to come together and bring healing through his word and encouragement. Only God can go in those places that none of us can go, but we can be an instrument, glory to God, as for God's glory to be manifested in the midst of all of these things. He want the body to be healed. He want the body to be for us to be in a place to be those witnesses, to be that light, to be that light on the hill, to be able to let man know that the Lord Jesus Christ is still on the throne. He came to save, deliver, to set free, to encourage, and he's still doing it right about now. So many miraculous things are still happening, but it's so sporadically all around the globe. God wants us to be able to come together and move, glory to God, by the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God have free reign. So much is happening to divide us that is causing us, glory to God, to fight among us, each other concerning religions and doctrine and all of that. Find out what the word of God is saying from Jesus Christ and what our assignment, each one of us. I don't do what I need to. My heart don't do what my tongue does. My ear, glory to God, don't do what my toes do. We start seeing these freaks, we need to know that there's some demonic activity going on. But we have to be in a place and so forth that the world can be able to see that we are disciples for Christ because of the love that we have one for another. There's so much work to be done in the kingdom of God. We need not to be fighting and dividing the kingdom in the name of Jesus. He, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. God got a great plan. He wants us to walk, glory to God, as followers of Christ. He wants us to be able to not to walk for him afar off. He wants us to be identified with him. He wants us to be able to be in a place and so forth like this, that we walk and talk and people can see the manifestation of Christ. It's not just lip service. It's not because we can articulate well. And then you can see that when people see us or talk to us, then we have the attitude of just nothing but flesh on parade. We're just believing God that we're going to come together even the more, and we're going to be able to stand together, walk together, run together this race, glory to God, and obtain the prize. And don't let it be said that we did run well. Who did hinder you? Glory to God. We want to walk in the love of God. It says that song is out talking about what does love have to do with it? Love have a lot to do with it. Jesus has proven that, and he's using his disciples and using the men and women of God and even young people to prove what he has said concerning his word at this hour and at this time. So I'm praying that we will stand on the word of God, keep looking to the hills with coming our help, realizing that our help comes from the Lord. Keep standing on the promise of the Lord. Be like that tree planted by the rivers of water. We shall not be moved. We'll be so strong that we can run with the horsemen. We'll be able to speak and decree and declare. We'll see healing and deliverance. We'll see limbs extended. We'll see, and glory to God, kidneys, and glory to God, and hearts, and so forth like this, God, going in lungs and so forth, being transformed back into, glory to God, the proper manner and the way that it's supposed to operate in God, restoring and placing parts back in the body where miracles are taking place and the doctors being on, others are being on because of the mighty power of God. We can be able to see marriages mended. We can be able to see homes put back together, wayward children, glory to God, that were supposed to be preaching and teaching and being a part of their family that were lost and families haven't heard from them for years. All of a sudden the word comes and they're back home. They're back home, and not only in the home, they're saved and filled with the Spirit of the Lord doing a work for the kingdom of God. We'll be in a place and so forth like this that even those, glory to God, that are in need, that we'll be financially set, that we can be able to pour back into the less fortunate. We won't be up here trying to be so greedy and holding hover all of this to ourselves and just wanted the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. No, we'll be able to pour back into because of where God has brought us from. The love, the agape. Ah, and he'll give us such peace that pass all understanding, that Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Mekadesh, the God that sanctifies, everything we need is in his word. He is so marvelous, so wonderful. And the power of forgiveness, to forgive one another, to let go and to let God, and to not allow these things to distract us and keep us out of the place of victory or keep us out of the kingdom of God. We won't be walking and talking and put it on a facade. People will know that we're genuine, we are real, and we are really true to the gospel and true to what God says. That medicine that is needed, glory to God, for the body, for the healing, we're carrying it on the inside of us through the word of God. We thank God for tonight. We thank God for all that he's done and doing. Some of us on a road that we need to transfer. We need a transfer from where we are to transfer back. And some people have walked and did great and marvelous and wonderful things for God, but things have hurt them, disappointed them. Some leaders are closing doors or shutting things down because they've been so disappointed. But remember, who called you? Who ordained you? Who set you aside for such a time as this? God has blessed and put the word in you, and regardless of those that reject you or this, that, and the other, be in a place that don't let bitterness take over, that you don't allow God to use you and still accomplish everything. You had to be doing something great and marvelous for the enemy to come after you the way that he did. But God is a restorer. He is a reviver. He knows how, glory, to raise us up. Even Jeremiah said it at one time, I'll not speak anymore. All the things that were transpiring at that time in the hard-headed stubbornness, but still yet, nevertheless, oh, it was like fire shut up in our bone. Don't let the fire go out. Don't be like the five foolish, be like the five wise virgins. And so they had oil in their lamp. We know there are going to be challenging times in life, things that may occur and things, but still yet, through it all, he says, from the beginning of time, so great a cloud of witness from the Old Testament to the New Testament, up until our hour and our time, some things even in our lives, glory to God, it's already proven that God has blessed and proved himself in our lives, even among others and so forth. Like, what a great God we serve. Even sometimes we look back at our own testimonies, and when there were times that things were going on in life that we couldn't hardly breathe because it hurt so bad, no more tears. But still yet, God was able to bless us. And look at us now, when we look back at the testimony, what a great and marvelous, nobody could heal and transform us and put us in a position and place to forgive some that had hurt us so bad, whether it was rape or incest or whether it was through disappointment, whether it was through divorce, whether it was dividing the ministry with somebody that we loved so dearly and walked out on us and turned back around, we worked together, whether it was in business or whether it was my child, I never thought they would do me this way or whatever. It's time so much pain and even death and even, glory to God, grief of other things that have occurred. And it looked like there was like suicide. Even some that have tried and could, but God had a plan. And the enemy wanted to destroy so we can keep you from carrying out what God says. And sometimes he'll pull those stunts even before we get to that place because he see that something God great was going to do great. Look at Moses. Look at Jesus. Look at ones he's tried to destroy even from a birth or a child. And look at God. Even some people have had children, how the enemy tried to destroy them in the womb, and then some of them have been raised up to do great and mighty exploits for the Lord. Some of them are that child. Some of us are that child when the enemy wanted to destroy us. So help us to keep the faith. Pray one for another. Help us to examine ourselves to make sure that we're lining up with God's word. Said, true enough, disappointments are going to come. Tragedies and other things may happen, but the God that we serve is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He came to bind up the brokenhearted and set the captives free. He's still doing those great things. He's still healing. He's still encouraging. All of us have this encouragement moments. Even while we're preaching and teaching and encouraging others, pain and sorrow and other things are happening in the background. But seeking first the kingdom, doing what God requires, he's going to take care of those other things. In the meantime, I just pray you continue to stand fast, hold fast, don't be moved from this place that God has called you into. Strive for more of him. We all know there's a hit out on us, but we also know who has control of the thermostat. No matter how high the temperature goes, God knows when to adjust it and breathe on us. Give us that break and make the enemy take his hands off. You can't go no further. But nevertheless, I know God's going to work it all out for the good, for those that love the Lord and called according to his purpose. So let us continue to be committed, dedicated, and accountable, and determined to live a life that's holy and acceptable unto the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. At this time, praise God, Father, we do thank you for tonight and for the word. And God, we pray that it will touch somebody's heart and make some difference or a change. And even if it's for even the speaker, God, we just pray whatever it is when your word go out that we'll find ourselves allowing you to come in, make the changes, not manipulated by man. But if there's things that we need to change according to your word, let it be so. If it's needed just to be encouraged, just to stand fast and to hold fast and not to give up, not to look back, but to keep pressing forward and not to keep looking in the rearview mirror, but looking forward and looking into the author and the finish of our faith, help us to do so as well. If we need courage to continue to stand, if we just need, glory to God, to be in a place to know precisely what you're saying, give us an ear to listen and to wait on the Lord and to be, glory to God, strengthened through your word. Whatever it may be, even those that may need a healing at this time, need deliverance, or need a yoke being destroyed because they've been betrayed or they've been hurt, or glory to God, they just seem like, I'm not doing much at this time in life. Seem like everything around me is falling down, or seem like I can't seem to find my way out of this situation, or I've gotten caught up in some things that I need some yokes, and I don't want to pretend, or I don't want to perpetrate the fraud anymore. I want to come clean. Whatever yoke need to be destroyed, we take authority over the Satan and all his little cohorts, every satanic and demonic force. We bind it up now and command it to loose his hold from them in the name of even sickness and disease that might be a setback or stagnation, glory to God, for some of the ones that you called and set apart for to be out on the field or to preach or to teach or to do whatever. We cancel those assignments and plead the blood of Jesus. We curse and cancel the work of the enemy that's come in to destroy, to kill, and to steal and to rob us, glory to God, of the joy and the peace and of even the visions and the dreams. Help them to hold on to the dreams and the visions that God has for them, that they'll keep stirring, keep striving. We pray for help for those ministries and people that need some assistance, the armor bearers. We pray for true believers that are going to work in the vineyard, that's going to be faithful, glory to God, to the cause of Christ in the name of Jesus. We pray for ourselves, one another, glory to God, as we pray, glory to God, individually as well, for us to stay faithful to you and help us, God, and let us not pass the church going to church, doing this good work, doing this good work, doing that, and not praying and covering ourselves and covering our family and doing what's right in our own households in the name of Jesus. Help us not to be so busy that we busy ourselves right out to the place that we don't even hear you. We are becoming mechanical doing things. God, I pray that yoke be destroyed, that it be a joy and excitement, anticipation of expectancy. In the name of Jesus, God, we bless you today. We pray for more laborers in the vineyard. We pray for healing. We pray for encouragement. We pray for those that have been brokenhearted. We pray, glory to God, against the satanic forces that have all these various things that are going on in these hideous crimes and murder and satanic forces that are in operation through devil worship and those that are caught up in homosexuality and starting to preach and teach and caught up in trying to overwhelm our children through different things, that the drug trafficking, the human trafficking. All the things that the enemy is trying to do to try to keep the work of the kingdom from going on. But God, we are praying against the spirit of fear. We curse and counsel fear. You're not giving us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind, that we don't have our ears so open to what all the media is saying, what's all going on around us, filling our spirits with that instead of filling it with the word. You said in your word and so forth that you, Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with thee, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Yea, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Help us, glory to God, to know, glory to God, this too shall pass. We may walk through the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death, but glory to God, going through, coming out, being victorious because we're going through and coming out. And even while we're going through some things, you're canceling some things and you're pulling off some flesh is dying, being crucified. The character of Christ is being manifested even the more. Help us, God, to not be vengeful, not to be resentful, not to be haters, but glory to God, to be lovers. Lovers of God, lovers, glory to God, of what you're saying concerning your word and the truth. God, help us, glory to God, to be what you've called us to be in these last and evil days, that you may get the glory and you may get the praise. We don't want to be on Hollywood Boulevard or be deterred off the path to get there. We want to stay on good news and on glory to God, on the Holy Boulevard that you have called us to be. in the name of Jesus. So, God, I thank you tonight, and I give you glory, and I give you praise. We thank you for the true believers and the ones that's standing, the ones that's preaching and teaching, the one that's living a life, the one that's being witnessed, the ones that are praying. Pray for those households and their families. Keep them covered under the blood. Make provisions, glory to God, even past what the promise of supplying the needs, but the desires of their heart is it being faithful to you in the name of Jesus. And, God, we so give you the glory and so give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. At this hour, I don't know how much time we have left, but if there is enough time for a couple of prayer requests, we will take those requests now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello? Is there not any prayer requests at this hour? I hope I didn't cut anybody off.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord there. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. We'll request to pray for Sister Small.
Oh, bless the Lord.
Amen.
Well, all right, we're there. Any specifics, Mother, at this time, or she just pray for the things that we've been praying concerning her health?
Amen. Health. Same thing we're praying.
Praise God, amen. Bless the Lord. Mother Smalls, anyone else? I don't know what number you have to press in order for it to come on off mute.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Sister, continue to pray for my daughter for lupus. She hurt her back.
Oh, my goodness. Hurt her back. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Any other requests out there? Okay. If not, we also want to pray another prayer request for an associate of Alicia, the young lady's husband. I think she said it was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease or whatever, and something happened. He had to go to the hospital the other night and a few days back and in ICU, and he's been, blood pressure was like 200 and something, over 100 and something, and the Lord just spared his life, but he's still dizzy. So, you know, from his vertigo or whatever, but however the blood pressure had then come down some, but he's still lightheaded with that, and something else has taken place in his body as well. So we're going to be praying for him, her. Can't remember his name, but her name is Yvonne, but her husband. Yeah. So we want to pray for that situation, for his health. And it's another lady, I can't remember, we prayed for in past times, but this preacher that had fallen in the pulpit after preaching the word, and they had to take her to a hospital, and she went into a coma, and she still hears, seem to be trying to come out of it, but she's still up on there in that coma. So we're praying the Lord bless and save, filled with the Holy Spirit, and she's been told that she's an anointed vessel of the Lord. And I can't remember what her name is, but we just remember the anointed vessel for prayer for the Lord to raise this preacher back up, that she'll continue to do what God called her to do and cancel the assignment of the enemy that's come up against her with a bleed on the brain. If that's all the requests, then we're going to go ahead and pray. Mother Alexander, since you're on the phone, I'm going to ask you to pray for two of these people, and I'm going to pray for the other two, and then that way we're going to, I'm not sure if Pastor Dorsey still could be able to hold the line while she's doing the switchboard or not. Well, I don't think she can. But anyway, would you pray for the pastor to have the bleed on the brain? For the Lord's healing for her, and also for Mother McCormick's daughter, the one that has lupus. We've been continuously praying for her healing, but since she done fell and hurt her back, they have to cancel the assignment of the enemy that's trying to destroy and make things even worse, because sometimes depression come against her too as well. So what you say her name is again? Is that not Catherine, is it?
No, it's Teresa.
Teresa.
Teresa. Yeah.
Teresa. We're going to say Teresa because we're here. So if it's okay, we'll say
okay.
Teresa. So Mother,
okay.
Mother Alexander for Teresa and for the pastor with the bleed on the brain for to come out of that coma. And I'll get the other two for Yvonne's husband and Mother Small.
Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. Father God, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus. We bring Teresa before you, Lord God. We know you is a healer, Heavenly Father. We ask you, Father God, touch, Lord God. Lord, you know and you see all things, Heavenly Father. You said by your word, Father God, by your stripe we are healed. Father, we ask you right now as we touch in agreement and this sister, Lord God, that she come out of that stroke, Lord God. She come out of that situation that she's in right now with the sickness and disease, that lupus, Lord God, you said in your word, Heavenly Father, that sickness and disease you did not put on us, Lord God. You heal us, Father God. So, Lord, we're standing in agreement right now together for this sister, Lord God, that that lupus will leave our body right now in the mighty name of Jesus. It shall not have authority over her. Father God, we thank you for being the Lord of a healing, Father, because your word said, Lord, you will take away sickness from the midst of us. Oh, God, help us to stand strong and to believe in your word, Lord God, that your will must be done in the mighty name of Jesus. We bind up that works of the enemy that come against these two people, Lord God, the one in the coma, Lord. We know, Lord, that this is not of you, Lord, because this is a lady that do your work, Lord. You call this minister to do your work, Father God. So, Lord, we bind up the works of the enemy because this is nothing but the enemy come against us to stop the word, but we know that he cannot stop the word. So, Lord, we standing and touching in agreement in the mighty name of Jesus that you touch our Lord God. Touch our body, Lord God. Oh, God, we know that you're a healer, Lord God. We bind up that spirit that touch our brains and bring this bleeding right now. We command it to cease right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And, Lord God, we ask you, Heavenly Father, that let your will be done in her right now, Lord God. Because, Lord, we know you is a healer. We know you can heal, Lord God. We know you said ask and believe. When we ask, we receive, Lord. So, Lord, we believe in, Father God. We believe in the mighty name of Jesus that these two sisters will come out of whatever the situation is right now that the enemy bring against them with this sickness, Lord. We bind these foul spirit up right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And we command that sickness to cease right now in the name of Jesus. That it will loose them right now in the name of Jesus. Because this is not of you, Heavenly Father. And your word said for us to pray for one another. So, Lord, we come in agreement right now, Lord God. Touching in agreement for these two ladies, Lord God, that let your will be done in them, Lord, because above all, you said you want us to be in good health, prosperous and be in good health. And Lord, we believe every word you said, Lord God. So we claim in victory for these both of these ladies. We claim in victory. Victory tonight, Lord God. We claim in a change, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that this will come forth in the mighty name of Jesus. These things we ask, Heavenly Father. Only in Jesus' name we stand, Lord. Only in the mighty name of Jesus we stand before you, Father, and ask for this, Lord, because we know healing is what you have for us, because according to your promise, above all things, you want us to be in good health and to be prosperous. Lord, we receive it. We receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. We give you glory. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we do pray for Mother Smalls today. We thank you for working a miracle and bringing her through that stroke. We can't believe still coming up and give her vision in one of her eyes, and also for the stability for her to be able to walk. Encourage her heart that she continue to keep the faith, even 80-something years old, so spry and still moving. So we know that you cannot, independent as you are, and sometimes when something interrupts that, sometimes the enemy comes in even to fight the mind. But God, I pray you continue to bless her with that word as she keeps encouraging others and stirring others up, glory to God, by this the words that you give her and the things, glory to God, that she say to encourage their heart. I pray, God, that you encourage her too as well to keep standing and keep pressing and keep fighting. We cancel the assignment of the enemy to come against her vision, to cause, glory to God, her where she can't even be able to be stable to walk on. We're asking you, Lord, to bless her, to raise her back up. We know in your word it's by your stripes that we were healed. Healing is in your wings, and you sent your word to heal. We know that thief is the attacker, but we cancel his assignment. We believe in you for restoration. We believe in you for restoring her back to health in the name of Jesus. Well, we thank you for that determination that she still glorify you and magnify you and still standing on the promises of the Lord. So we thank you for right now. Bless even in her body, bless in her finances, bless in her home in the name of Jesus. God, we pray for Avon's husband in the name of Jesus. We pray right now against the progress of disease, the other attacks that he came to try to cripple and handicap him and some of the other things that are going on in his body, some of the things that are just occurring out of nowhere all of a sudden. We plead the blood of Jesus. We pray that that blood pressure will come down and it will stay down. Whatever even triggered it to go up to try to give him a stroke, we curse and cancel that. God, we are praying, glory to God, the equilibrium be balanced. In the name of Jesus, we cancel vertigo. We cancel any brain damage. We cancel any assignment to try to keep him from his muscles and body operating where, like you said, is he not stable on his feet. Whatever all of this is occurring, we know that you are greater than these problems. Everything got to bow at the name of Jesus, all the things that we are praying for. And for those that, glory to God, that we have prayed for and still praying for, still believing God, for great and mighty things, and even for all the praise reports that have came through, all the prayers of the mighty things that you've already done through others' lives and through the power of prayer. So we're praying for the prayer wars. They continue to pray. Prayer goes and the word goes around the globe. We have no distance. We pray, God, that we just keep the faith as we pray one for another and for those around us. And those that are praying and those that are prayer warriors and standing, glory to God, as intercessors, God bless them like never before, that they keep standing the gap. They keep standing on the word. Cancel every assignment of the enemy that comes against them as they're standing the gap. God, you're our protector. You're our shield and buckler. Pray that blood covering over and pray even for those that are carrying the word and carrying that anointing that you're pray, glory to God. We're praying, glory to God, that you will bless them to keep the faith, that they'll not fall back, glory to God, or fall through the cracks because of the cares and the concerns and the things that are happening and the attacks are coming. God, I thank you that the greater is he on the inside of us than he that's after us in the name of Jesus. God, we just bless you that you done told us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. And God, the greater one, glory, are with those that power, that anointing, and with that word and with that sword and that things that you have given us to operate, to do kingdom work. God, help us. Help us even in those times, in those tight places, glory to God, when we just need to be able to hear your voice, to continue to stand and keep pressing and pursue. Breathe on your people, glory to God. Encourage them, glory to God, that are getting worn and tired, and some, glory to God, about to give up, some have, but I'm praying for restoration and restoring. God, we just bless you as we come together in unity. God, help us to know, glory to God, that we need that agape, and we need your word. We need, glory to God, to be able to stand on your promise. So help us, God, so we cannot look back, but keep looking forward in the name of Jesus, the greatest things yet to come for your promises. So I ask the angels of the Lord to be encamped about us and glory to God throughout the day and even through this time of memorial for those that have people that have gone on and for those that have served in different parts of the country for glory to God in the different places, God, we pray, glory to God, that you will bless those families. Some that are still grieving, but we're praying for relief and healing and praying, God, as you bless at this time. But every day, help us, glory to God, remember Jesus, remember his word and his promise, and continue to keep us and keep our minds in the name of Jesus, that we'll walk according to, as you have promised, those things, glory to God, shall pass, and that we know, glory to God, that you are the true author and the finisher of our faith, and that our hope is in you. In the name of Jesus. So we ask you, God, to protect us and our children, even through the summertime. Don't allow the enemy to snatch them up or steal them or rob their lives. And don't let them make decisions that's going to cost them, glory to God, things that could occur to just take them off of the destined place that you have for their lives. We're thanking you right now for the parents, and we just ask you, Lord God, for wisdom in the name of Jesus. As we pray also for our leaders. In Jesus' name we do pray. Now, Satan, we bind you up, take authority over you, command you and your little cohort to go back to the dry place in which you came. We speak life and health and wholeness and speak truth and speak your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. At this time, if we have any remarks or anything that's on anyone's heart before we close the line tonight, we do give God praise for his word, for those ones that were prayed for, and for those that stood in the gap tonight for the evangelist and Mother Alexander, and also for Mother McCormick that did come on to make those requests, and for the standing gap for prayer, and whoever else that the Lord bless in the background. We pray for your blessings and your household as well, in Jesus' name. Any comments or any praise reports or anything before we hang up?
I got a message.
This is Pastor Bird.
Yes, ma'am.
Run this race I have set before you. You are the remnant I have chosen for this time. Run this race with patience and endurance. There are hurdles before you that I have set in place to make you strong. Think not that it's from the enemy, for I am preparing you for the things to come. But only the strong will survive. For you are my secret weapons for the end time, a special force, secret agent, chosen priesthood, a peculiar people, chosen by me, says the Spirit of the Lord, not by man. So endure hardship like a soldier, and know that the battle is not yours, it belonged to me, says the Spirit of the Lord.
My Lord, my God. Wow, praise you, Jesus. Marvelous God, we thank you for that word today as you encourage our hearts and help us to hold fast to it regardless of what we're walking through. Thank you, Lord, for breathing on us and speaking to us in Jesus' name. Wonderful. Thank you, Prophet. I appreciate you being obedient to the Spirit of the Lord. Praise God. Bless you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I too have a message from the Lord.
And who am I speaking with?
Pastor Twitty.
Okay, Pastor, I couldn't hardly tell this time your voice sounded different. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, maybe I need to turn my volume up some.
No, I hear you clearly. Your voice just sounds different. Go ahead. It's fine. It's clear.
The word of the Lord came to me and said, tell the people to come out of idol worship. He says people are in idol worship, and they need to come out of idol worship. And a lot of times people don't think they're in idol worship, but we are in idol worship because we have been taught to worship idols, idols that we know not of. And we think they're just plain and simple things that we do from time to time, but it is idol worship that we're doing. So God said, tell his people and warn them to come out of idol worship.
My Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
My God, amen. Praise God. We pray that we hear the word of God and govern ourselves accordingly and examine ourselves daily for whatever fits us, then do so and pray for others that where it may not fit. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. If there is not anything else that the Lord has given, praise God. Pastor Bird, I would like for you to share that praise report concerning your brother. Amen.
Praise the Lord. And first of all, I want to thank everybody for the prayers. You know that my brother was diagnosed with bone cancer, and we had been lifting him up before the Lord. When they found the cancer in his bone, it was 85%.
My Lord.
And they put him on chemotherapy. He was on it for a while. He had been off it for 3 months and went in for his checkup. When he was there the last time, the doctor told him when he come back, he wanted him to be at least 5%. That was what they were hoping for. So my brother went in, and they did a bone marrow on him, and it was 3%.
Glory to God. Jesus.
Nobody but God.
God is awesome. Lord Jesus.
I just give God praise today because he is still a healer.
Yes, Thank you. Yes, Lord.
And my brother was excited, and so the doctor asked him, "What have you been doing?" And he said, "I want to tell him praying." But I told him I had been eating right, and I told him, I said, every opportunity that you get to give God praise,
yes,
you give God praise.
Amen.
So it was the prayers of the righteous that caused this thing
Hallelujah.
To come to pass. So I just want to give that praise report, and again, I want to thank each of you for your prayers.
Praise God. And what's so marvelous about
work.
It? Glory to God. Glory to God. And you said it was about just a year and a half ago, it was 85% when they found it. And look at God. That is so marvelous.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. The God we serve, the power of prayer works. You got to be patient and hold fast to faith, regardless of what it looks like, sound like, even for some of us that are standing on the word. Amen. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Any more reports? I'm going to see what time it is. Oh. Praise God. Is that the last report? Praise God. Well, in the
like,
Go ahead.
I would just like to thank for y'all praying for my daughter. Continue to pray for her and stuff, because
praise
she
God.
Gets kind of down and out at times, and then she
yeah.
has to slip and fail and hurt her back. But I thank
yeah.
God for your prayers on tonight and the Word of God. It was thank God.
Amen, amen. We're going to continue to keep Teresa lifted up before the Lord, because she's a young woman, and that's a great challenge when the enemy attacked her life like that. In the meantime, God is still a healer, and sometimes even hearing that is one thing, and people trying to grasp faith, but when they're walking through it, they still continue to need that encouragement, and also for us to be praying in the background. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
I do bless all of you for the power of prayer and for Monday night prayers, which we will still be on tomorrow on Monday night on a regular. It's every Monday night at 7 o'clock Central, Eastern and 6 o'clock Central time. And so we thank God for the prayer warriors and some that's been on the line tonight praying and speaking. We thank God. And our next engagement for the word from the Lord under Divine Connection on the Sincere Women on Roof of Christ will be next second Sunday at 7 o'clock for those that are available to come on. We'll be back on that night. After that, then I'll be checking with between Pastor Bird, Pastor Tweedy, Pastor Burden, and Mother Alexander, the Evangelist, and whoever else. We'll start setting up a schedule for you all to and others to minister, but just to lay the foundation. And we're just doing it after June. I'll find out what the Lord will release me to have any other days besides those two Sundays out of the month. We're just now getting our feet wet. We thank Pastor Dorsey in the background for working the switchboard and also for the vision that God given us for the expanded to step out in faith in Blog Talk Radio for outreach. But in the meantime, if there's anything, nothing else being said, we'll prepare ourselves to close out tonight. But I do thank you, and I pray that something was said in the Word to encourage me, and you all have followed me. I had two messages trying to tie them together, but we thank God for that He did deliver, and pray that it will be something to always encourage you. The Word is always good, and that we'll always find ourselves someplace in it, or something that we can share and even give others, or some things that God can remind us of that we need to come up in. So with that said, if nothing else, we're going to get ready. Yes?
Pastor BJ, it's Prophetess Cindy. I've got something for Pastor Bird.
Okay.
Praise God.
As she was ministering, the Lord was just revealing, because of her diligence and because of her sacrifice, she has shifted, and God has increased. There's a tremendous increase of anointing upon her life. And as she continues to persevere and press in, God's going to continue to shift her and take her higher. But the anointing is going to continue to increase. It's almost like it's quadrupling. The more that she perseveres and presses in, and continues to seek the Lord and continue to be diligent about the things that he's given her to do, because he hasn't forgotten all of the things that he's called her to do. Some things seem to have fallen to the wayside, but they're not. They're going to be re-energized. You're going to pick them back up. There's the things that God has given you many, many years ago that you were called to do, but it seems like they just never came to pass. But they're going to start coming to pass now. But you need to just continue, because God has increased the anointing on you. And when others are around you, they're going to sense that shift in you and that anointing in you. And as he says, it's the anointing that breaks the yokes. And it's what he does when he sets the captives free. And because of the anointing on your life right now, as he continues to increase this on you, you're going to see people set free right in front of your eyes. You're going to see the manifestation of the Word of God that's been in your belly for so many years, that God has given you those promises. You're going to start seeing that manifestation.
Glory. Praise God.
Woo,
praise God.
Hallelujah.
I receive that in the name of Jesus. It's already started. Glory. Oh, praise God. Glory to God. Thank you so much.
We praise you,
Amen.
Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Oh, that's marvelous. I praise God. It's so wonderful to hear my daughter on the line, too, as well, Prophet. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank God for that word. I don't want to miss the Spirit of the Lord. It's about three times I done said something, so I'm going to wait a minute if there's anything else. Praise God. Okay, we're going to attempt once more. We don't want to interfere with the Holy Spirit, but if he does, then just let me know. Praise God. I'm going to read Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you without stumbling or slipping or falling, and to present you unblemished, blameless, and faultless before the presence of his glory in triumphant joy and exultation with unspeakable ecstatic delight. To the one and only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, splendor, majesty, might, and dominion and power and authority before all the time, and now and forever, unto all the ages of eternity. Amen, and so be it. Praise the Lord. Amen. If there is nothing else tonight, praise God. I do thank you for your attendance. And in the meantime, thank God for those prayers. Thank God for those that are standing in the gap. And pray God's blessings and covering over your household. And we're going to say shalom. Mm-hmm. If there's nothing else. Shalom.
Shalom.
Praise God. We give him glory. Hallelujah. Thank you.